Hello, and welcome to the Cult of Tea and Dice. This is episode 463. I'm Modrigan, and I'm going to be running Frost Vikings. Oh yes, it's back. And do you know why it's back? It's back because two of the members of the cult are actually in the same room as me. Now, from listening to those reactions, can you tell which two it is? I bet you can. Anyway, yes, so we are in the same room, and then there's two electronic people who are not in the same room, and you can make a little game of it trying to work out who is who. But I suppose we should go around the table and work out who everybody is. So we'll start with you, Hardwick.
Oh, hello. I am playing Viv, who is an axe-wielding berserker.
Yes, with a powerful axing hacking style, was
a
it?
A forceful hacking style.
A forceful hacking style.
Mm-hmm.
Archive.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Bolla Ragged Daughter, who is a frosty Viking mage.
A frosty Viking mage. And Blooded.
I am Blooded, and I am playing Hrulf, who is a charming, roguish bard.
And finally, we have Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and this evening I will be playing Lars Fulriksson, whose high concept is a nutcase with knives.
Mm-hmm. Just got to press that button. Now, because some of us are in person, we have broken out the tea, ladies and gentlemen, so we are, once again, the cult of tea and dice as opposed to the cult of dice. We have broken out one of the wonderful teas from Tea Leaf Sample Me, tealeaf.co.nz. These are one of the teas that Wayward Masquerade sent us all the way from New Zealand. And we are drinking the chai. It's a flavoured black tea. Tea Leaf's teas take on this popular Indian classic, a spicy black tea with tastes of cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, ginger, and a hint of pepper. Try brewing with milk or soy milk and add a touch of honey. We haven't done that last bit at all. When it says cardamom, they are not fucking kidding. I looked in the pot and just like whole cardamom pods just floating about.
Nice. It is quite
cardamom-y.
Mm. I feel like this might just give away who's in the room.
Yeah.
If anyone was guessing.
If you haven't guessed already.
Yeah.
It's very cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a nice black. It's not overly cardamom-y, though.
It's not bad.
No. It's very cardamom-y. And if you didn't like cardamom, why the fuck are you drinking chai?
Mm.
It's good. It's not drying me out. It's not making me feel like an Assam would, which is like, oh my god, my hair has turned inside out. With the drying and the desertification of your face.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, I'm finding it difficult to notice very much else in there other than cardamom, the hint of cinnamon.
I did get a bit of pepper, but that's maybe. All kind of fairly similar.
I mean, I'm not brilliant at telling the taste of one spice from another, because typically when I'm cooking, for example, I just know that I like all of these, so I chuck them all in together. I don't really take the time to sort of taste each herb and taste each spice individually so I can figure out what they are by themselves. So to me, this tastes like chai, and it's nice because I like chai.
Weirdly, I can't taste any of the star anise, which is surprising to me. Because normally, if star anise is in anything, you can tell. It's like, oh, that's definitely got star anise in it and a load of other shit.
Mm.
Well, I quite like this. It's quite pleasant. It's not a bad drink. Obviously, I have not sugared mine, but sweetened it. And Hardwick, you've slightly sweetened it. And Archive, you haven't sweetened it at all. So we're running the full gamut here.
Mm.
And yes, I have just given away who's in the room.
I think they'd probably guessed by now.
Yeah, it's not overly powerful. I did brew it for the recommended amount of time, which probably helps.
Hmm.
I think that's where we used to go wrong on Assam.
We'd
get distracted.
We would get distracted, and then we'd drink it, and our faces would turn inside out, and we'd be awake until 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So, again, Tea Leaf Tea, which is tealeaftea.co.nz. Very good tea. We've had very few misses, although admittedly, we do still have a French Earl Grey that we should try. We have traditionally not been fans of the Earl Grey.
The Grey family are not my friends.
No, because they fucking love bergamot, and oh my god, they love it in Spain. Right, well, our tea review done. that was a bit chaotic, if I'm honest. We haven't done this in person in a very, very long time, and we certainly haven't reviewed a tea in a very, very long time. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, could anybody tell me anything about what happened before? I remember that we were measuring ogres in pecs, and you were getting various weird imperial measurements in terms of goods back. I don't remember what I said at the time. I think I was drinking, so I seem to remember there was alcohol last time we were playing. Or was it tea? I can't remember. It's been a long time, folks. May have been wrong. It was probably. I seem to remember that there was some king, and he asked you to get rid of an ogre.
So I have written down randomly at the bottom, Troglisson.
Yes, Troglisson is the king.
And he was a bit. Yeah, but he was the guy with the cowl, right?
And was he? Oh, yeah, he might have been the first guy.
Yeah. Well, because I've got his name, and then Best Slurry was Best Cowl written right underneath.
Yeah.
So no, I think that's from the same session.
He is the first guy.
I think the last session we did might have been remote, because at some point we definitely did a remote one.
Yes.
Because I've got a copy of the sheet on my phone.
Mm-hmm. I think you're correct. I think we did do one remote Frost Viking.
But I don't know which one, to be fair.
I think it might have been Peck of Ogre. You see, what I intended to do earlier today was listen to the first episode of Peck of Ogre. Do you know what didn't happen?
You didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
I vaguely remember there was a building in the middle of some snowy woods.
Yeah.
And we eventually got in there.
Yeah.
And there was some violence.
And it was very warm in there, I remember that.
Yeah, it was.
Because yeah, I remember that the ogre had been forewarned of your icy goodness and therefore had taken steps.
Which is unusual for me. I normally fight things that are immune to ice.
Ah, the local lord was Wadwick the Raging. The Raging, because it's in the show notes.
Oh, marvellous.
Having grown in fame, people are starting to seek out the Frost Vikings for missions, albeit missions where the reward is a little hard to calculate. In this case, the local lord, Wadwick the Raging, has an ogre problem, and there's a few people willing to take him on. This was episode 427, which probably explains why I don't fucking remember it.
Was this the one where everything was really weird amounts that he was offering us? That was definitely remote, because I was Googling what the hell they were.
Yes. Yeah, so this is July last year.
Wow. No wonder we don't remember. It's February.
Mm-hmm. Now, normally Mordrigan's memory is shitty anyway, even when he's not referring to himself in the third person. But I'm quite pleased I remembered as much as I did from this.
Yeah, fair.
So anyway, Wadwick the Raging, whose name actually is Wadwick, not Roderick, although his majordomo, I believe, did roll all of his arms. But Wadwick the Raging, who's actually Wadwick the Raging, set you a mission to go and kill the ogre. He offered you many, many imperial measures of things. I believe you are getting a peck of something. I think it's cheese. And I think you're getting like a ton or a small barrel full of gold, anyway. And a couple of acres of land or something. Basically, you've got some weird ass amounts of stuff coming to you. And should we actually finish this game, I'll look at what I said.
Hooray!
It was nearly 40 episodes ago, people. Anyway, if I remember correctly, when we finished the last session, the ogre had been frozen slightly. He had lost a nipple, I'm told, and he had fled from his centrally heated house and fled northwards up the mountain. We return now to Frost Vikings in Progress, standing in an incredibly hot room. There's a lack of ogre. It's gone.
Well, we should probably go and find the ogre.
Sounds about right. He's in for a stabbing.
Indeed. So, what is your plan for finding the ogre? I mean, he left via the door, so you know he went that way. Mm-hmm. Beyond that point?
Well, is it not snowy outside?
Yeah, I suppose you could. I suppose you could try and track the ogre through the snow. It's not that difficult in the initial parts, but once it gets under the trees, it might prove more difficult, because obviously most of the snow will be on the trees.
Mm.
So you get out and you head through the various entrenchments that he seemed to have set up. Nowhere do you see Boning, the barbarian, or the weird necromancer whose name I have forgotten. Answers on a postcard, please. Anyone remember?
Mm-mm.
No. Really, really wish I'd had. It was my plan. It just didn't happen. So I'm going to call the necromancer Ned. Just for the moment.
He changes his name with every body he raises.
That's true. He might be in the warnings, actually, thinking about it. Archive, ogres, imperial weights and measures, and Boning the Barbarian. Damn it! Actually, I've spelt Boning the Barbarian wrong as well. It's Boning the Barbarian.
Barbarian.
I forgot his B. His second B. I'd lost it.
The bees are escaping.
Yep. So anyway, you're heading into the woods, chasing the ogre footprints through his own sort of trench warfare areas. It doesn't take very long until you hit the woods. And actually, it's relatively easy to see where he has gone, because while indeed most of the snow is on the trees, you can tell where he's gone, because wherever he's gone, the snow is no longer on the trees, because most of the trees are not there anymore, because he's gone through them. He is, as I remember, very big. You start making your way up the hill. It is night time. Not daytime. Night time. Do you have any particular plans other than follow at best pace?
I don't think we really stopped to make a plan.
No.
That does sound like a simple plan we could possibly all follow.
Yes.
I mean, the first step in any plan is to know where the thing you're planning against is.
Okay.
So we are following the first step quite diligently.
So you go as fast as possible through the woods. Everybody make me a quickness. Quickness is a stat in this game.
Yep.
Good.
Total of 5.
Okay.
1.
3.
And?
-1.
Okay. Just taking a sip of chai. Viv and Bolla, the original Frost Vikings, whose skills are renowned across all of the 9 worlds by Odin, who totally didn't trick them once. You two fail to notice the giant bear trap.
Oh, that sounds like us.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those pity bear traps, the ones where you dig a big pit and then you cover it very lightly with some sticks. The rest of you do notice this pit trap. What's your name, Loka?
Lars.
You, Lars, notice it. Assume that everybody's going to notice it because it's so very obvious, and just sort of jump over it. Then Viv and Bolla fall into it, and then you notice it just in time to stop. So yes, you fall down into the bottom of a pit. It is about 10 foot deep. It is about 20 foot across. Very big pit indeed. In the corner of the pit, you see something. It is a figure. It's just standing, staring at the corner of the pit.
Who poke it?
Is it human-shaped?
It's human-shaped. Quite big.
Maybe we don't want to poke it.
Are you two actually talking to each other, by the way?
Bolla basically just sort of is giving Viv a bit of a puzzled look. One of two things must be going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Either they have magicked into existence at the point of our descent, or they were standing there while the roof was put on. And both of those seem quite strange.
The figure has been listening and slowly turned round. It seems to be a quite dead Boning the Barbarian. He has sort of weird mossy stuff all over his body, which is odd, although I think he did have that the last time you saw him. And he also seems to have these bright blue glowing eyes. He goes, and sort of starts lumbering in your direction with his sword with the table on it. Everybody can go ahead and roll quickness. Boning is not quick.
Two.
Minus one.
Right. Rolf is on two. Boller is on minus one. Hardwick?
Two.
Viv is also on two. And Loka?
Two.
Also on two. And Boning, the barbarian zombie, is on minus two, actually. So he is going to go last. Lars, you are at the top of a 20-foot deep hole. You can see Boning the barbarian with his table sword going slowly in the direction of your two friends who fell down a pit. Luckily,
20 feet deep?
I thought it was 10 foot deep.
You're right.
20 feet would be a long way.
Yes, you would have taken damage. It's 10 foot deep and 20 foot wide. You're on the other side of it, though.
I look for something I can throw at him.
I mean,
I've got one of these knives.
I mean, you do have knives. Many knives.
I would like to quickly throw some knives at him.
Fair enough. Make me a quick roll, then. He will defend by being generally tough.
Four.
He will not defend by being generally tough. You hurl knives down at Boning the Barbarian, and one of them sticks in the back of his head. He seems unhappy about this, but otherwise fine. Hulf.
Okay.
You're on the other side, so slightly closer to the side that he's heading towards.
Okay, and I'm at the top of the pit? I'm not in the pit at the moment.
You are indeed at the top of the pit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do something flashy. Uh-huh. I'm going to yell, huzzah, and then do a somersault down into the pit to try and land on him.
Okay, go right ahead.
Right, so that's a three.
Okay. You land on his head. There is a crunching sound. His head is now on funny. Viv.
I guess Viv would like to have a go at her favourite pastime.
Frenziedly hacking things to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Mm. You rush towards him, axe in hand.
And rolls minus three.
And fails to hit Boning, very definitely. To the point that Boning actually trips you up as you charge.
Whoops.
He gets a plus one boost against you, should he choose to attack you next. Finally, Bola.
Right. Well, this is an undead running towards us in a pit which has walls.
Shambling, but yes.
Shambling. But still, undead are not particularly known for their dexterity as a rule. Therefore, Boller's cunning plan.
Cunning.
Cunning plan.
Cunning, is it?
Clever plan.
Clever plan, is it? Is it clever or cunning? Because that's kind of important, isn't it?
Well, cunning isn't a stat.
Oh, well, clever then.
So, yeah.
I mean, you could roll on this thing that doesn't exist if you want, but so we're going with a clever plan, yes?
Yeah,
your clever plan?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, ice the ground at his feet.
Uh-huh.
Turn it into just a slick sheet so he smacks himself into the wall of the pit.
Fair enough. Make the roll.
And hopefully causes himself some damage.
We will see.
That is a six.
Yeah, that'll do it. He's going to go right ahead and take a minus six consequence. So you ice the floor at his feet. He is shambling into sort of a lumbering, rolling gait. And he hits your iced up patch and literally slides face first into the wall. When he comes back, the front of his face is flat. He has a smashed face. He turns around and goes, "Whoa!" and then attacks one of the three of you down in the pit. 1 to 2. 3 to 4. Electronic person, 5 to 6.
Oh no.
Boning the barbarian, wielding his fabled table sword, lifts it high above his head, and then tries to bring it down upon you. It's cocked. Right.
Fabled already, my goodness.
You need to decide on your defense.
Okay.
I'll tell you now, he's a mighty
warrior. Yes, okay.
In fact, he's only a mighty warrior. He's terrible at everything else. And that's a big heavy sword. With a table on it.
Yeah.
It's quite heavy. Definitely get a burn in your cup. She's thinking.
I'm basically trying to figure out how to get a defense and justify a good stat for it.
That is part of the plan in Fate Accelerated.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it defaults to quick, basically.
Yeah, I need it to not do that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Quick is my worst stat.
Is it?
Yeah.
Your worst stat, you say?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it would
right?
be terrible if you had to roll that.
Yeah. So, obviously, a big table sword coming down is a terrible problem.
It is.
Which can only be solved by the use of complex magic. To insert a, well, basically put in a sheet of ice between me and the sword in such a way the sword hits it and slides down it.
Okay.
Away.
You want clever, right?
Ideally, but I'll take flashy as well.
I would say that it's more flashy than clever.
I'll take flashy. Flashy's
you don't have time to do it cleverly.
Yeah, okay.
Well, flashily, you
flashily.
Can do it.
Flashy's a plus two. I'll take that.
Yeah, a flash of ice appears.
That is a five.
Which is probably for the best, because that's what he got too.
Okay.
So he won't hit you, but he will get a plus one forward on you.
Okay.
So he's got plus one on you and a plus one on Bola. We are back to the top with you, Lars. Boning reels back with the giant sword with a table on the end and just narrowly misses due to the application of ice, basically pancaking Bola. Because that is a big weapon with a big weapon bonus, and if that hits you, you are toast. Well,
that's
thinly pasted hamburger, actually, probably. So it is you, Lars.
I'm going to go for the same thing because I kind of need to try and make him go away.
Fair enough. Whang a knife at him.
So with quick at plus three, that's a plus two on the dice. This is getting suspicious now, so a total of plus five.
Okay. He's going to take a minus four consequence. So you wind up, as he swings down, he leans right over as he smashes down the sword with the table, hits the ice, slides off, and he ends up in a sort of awkward position, so you promptly throw a knife up his ass crack. At which point it becomes you, Rolf. You are down in the pit with Boning the Barbarian. He now has a knife in his arse crack and a smashed face. His face is flat.
I will hit him in the face with my loot.
Fair enough. Boing. Flashy.
Yes, I'll do a funky riff on it before I whack him with it.
You are lucky that fate dice fucking hate me. Yeah, okay. Well, I think he's dead, actually. You smash him in the face. Well, he got minus two on the dice, so you got a three, so you're doing a five. He's already taken his minus six consequence. He's already taken his minus four consequence, because he had to. So there's no way he can take enough damage to prevent him dying. You smash Boning the Barbarian in the face. His head flips over backwards like the top of a flip-top bin. He goes, "Whoa!" and then falls backwards onto his table. He's now lying on the table, very dead, smashed face, knife in his ass crack, lying on our table with a sword through it. Silence descends.
Right. How do we get out of a pit?
I don't know. How do you want to get out of a pit?
Well... 10 feet tall, so not terribly tall.
I mean, you've got a table in here you can stand on now.
In here. So yeah, that is what I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps by standing on a table.
Okay, so you drag the table over to the side, along with Boning, because he's still got a death grip on the table. And then you climb on the table, and you utilise the table to help you get up and out of the hole. Fair enough, no problem. As you're getting out of the hole, down in the hole you hear... As Boning reanimates and goes and stands in a corner.
He was definitely here when they covered him over.
Boning. Arse. But yes, he's staring at the corner again and waiting. So, you continue heading up the mountain, following the trail of the ogre. Are you doing anything different, or are you just proceeding at best pace still?
We've got time to make up.
I see.
So Lars will definitely.
Sorry, I was just going to say there is room for, you know, going, oh, that might be a trap there.
Well, yes, there is that.
It's at times like this when I wish we had our own TV Tropes page. I definitely, definitely think that our listeners will be, what the hell the Necromancer was called. Anyway, so you're heading up as fast as you can, Lars, and everybody else is following you. So go ahead and make me a quickness check.
So that is 2.
Mm-hmm. And you, Lars? Lars?
I'm sorry, say again. Things started beeping.
Could you please roll a quickness check?
2.
Okay, so both of you get 2. So you're heading up the hill as fast as you can, and ahead of you, you realize that the mountain is not, in fact, a mountain. It is a volcano. Dun, dun, dun. And you can see a glowing cave ahead of you, and a shadow, a large shadow, disappearing into said cave. The ogre is not stupid. As I remember, the AI told me he'd planned ahead for you both. Because the original plot for this was written by an AI.
Yeah, but he didn't plan for Lars.
He did plan for Lars. Unfortunately, Lars doesn't seem to have planned for the Necromancer. Who? We're calling Ned the Necromancer here, but that's very Flandersy.
Who's the Necromancer after us?
The Necromancer isn't after you. The Necromancer's after the ogre.
Oh.
But you're very effective. So you're running along through a little ravine, heading towards this big fire cave ahead of you, and sort of standing above the far end of the ravine is, and I'm going to call him Ned the Necromancer. With a mustache, skull that he talks to, but occasionally he's back. He goes, "Stop! Stop, or are you keeping coming?"
Why?
No,
he's
keeping coming.
I'd probably stop.
Cease your walking, otherwise I will be forced to bring down the full weight of my wrath upon you.
Why?
Because, well, it's simple, really. I want to get paid. I mean, isn't that obvious?
Well, yes, but we want to get paid.
Well, exactly. Yes, but you and I aren't working together, so if you get paid, I don't get paid. I was somewhat hoping that boning would prove more defensible, but it seems like boning just didn't have what it takes to prevent you.
I mean, that's a way of looking at it.
Well, that's how I'm looking at it. I don't know about you.
How far away is he?
He's a goodly distance. He stopped. Okay. He stopped you about a couple of 100 meters short of him. He's not dumb. So I say upon to you all, turn around. Fuck right off. I'll have a go at the ogre. If I don't kill him, then you're welcome to have a go. But to be perfectly honest, I think I'm going to do it. And then we don't have to fight and you don't have to get dead. I mean, obviously, if we do have to fight and you do get dead, I get some more people.
I'm going to turn back to... He's a couple of 100 meters away, you say. So this is shouting range.
Yes, he is literally yelling at the top of his voice.
I'm going to turn back to the rest of the party and go, you know what? He might have a point. We can use him to soften the ogre up.
You could use the ogre to soften him up.
Both.
I say we let him.
Whichever one survives, we kill Steel.
So what are you all doing?
We're in a ravine, right?
Yes.
So I'm just going to go, I reckon we look like we're walking away. Get to the end of the ravine or whatnot. Give it, like, maybe an hour. Have to sit down, have something to eat. Fire, maybe. And come back if the screaming starts?
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to say we'll give him a shot, but I'd like to watch.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe if we just find a nice spot around here, we can get a view of the cave.
Okay. Do you mind spectators?
What?
Well, if you're going to go fight the ogre, do you mind if we watch?
Well, if you're going to get close enough to watch, how do I know you're not going to try and kill the ogre? Or wait until I've killed the ogre and then kill me?
Well, you don't.
I don't know.
You're a necromancer.
You're supposed to be the smart one.
You have power over death. Can't you just reanimate yourself?
I mean, technically speaking, yes, but that's a bit difficult.
I'm sure someone like yourself is up to it.
He turns and he has a quick conversation with the skull he's carrying. Right, so let me get this straight. You want to come and watch me fight the ogre, yes?
Yeah, it'll make a nice change of pace.
I'll tell you what, I'll even turn round for you.
Hang on a mo. He turns back to the skull and has a conversation. And then a zombie wanders over and he does something to the zombie. And then the zombie starts walking down the ravine. Zombie wanders up to you. It's got a silver tray with four shitty looking bracelets on it. Put those on, please.
Why?
Do I know what they are?
Are you even vaguely magical, Lars?
Well, I always seem to have more knives, so on some level, probably.
No, the answer to that question is, you have no idea. You're not enough magical.
Am I enough magical? Okay.
You are maybe enough magical. Would you like to make a roll and tell me if you've done well?
Sure. What am I rolling?
Yeah, it'll be clever.
That's a three.
Yeah, those are basically soul-binding bracelets. They will probably prevent you from doing him harm while you're wearing them. And you probably won't be able to get them off in sunrise.
Straight up, prevent us from doing him harm.
Stop you from doing him harm directly, yes.
Stop us initiate. Like, if he attacks us...
Then you still won't be able to do him harm.
Yeah. I have a...
Directly.
Yes.
They don't look very fun. Doesn't go with my outfit, sorry.
If he decides he wants to get rid of us, we can't directly hurt him while if we're wearing these.
Why would we put them on then?
Have you put them on yet? The zombie turns around and goes, Mah.
We're discussing the matter.
Well, let me put it this way. If you want to watch, you've got to put the bracelets on. It will be impressive, I can say that much. Me dealing with the ogre, that is, not you putting the bracelets on, obviously. They don't blow you up or anything. They're just a little bit of, like, what's the word? Insurance. There.
Yes, of the kind that could get us killed. We're discussing it.
Only if you're going to betray me.
Or if you want to try and get rid of us.
What would be the point? I'm here for the money. For the cheese. You're getting a peck of cheese. I remember that much.
So I found that there are scribbled notes on this.
Does it have the actual name of the necromancer?
No, it doesn't. Ah. It does have what was agreed, and I think this is per person.
Right.
A quarter peck of gold.
Right.
An acre of land.
Yes.
Three firkins of cheese.
It's the firkins. Yeah, they were huge.
And one bushel of mead.
Uh-huh.
I'm not entirely sure how you make a bushel of mead, but it's happening. But yeah, so honestly, I'm not entirely sure it's worth it just to see him fighting the ogre. It's all very risky.
Nah, I don't fancy it.
No, all right. We've had a think, and I don't think we're going to go for it on account of the bit where it's too likely you'll stabinate us, possibly with zombies.
Right, well, in that case, you're not following me, and I'm going to go and have my go at the ogre.
All right. You have fun.
Oh, and just in case you think about following me, just to let you know, I have defenses in place. He tries to give you a look. It doesn't really work over 200 meters away, which should probably be in yards, given the whole imperial measures thing of this game, but fuck it. Half a chain away, he gives you a look. Don't know if that's right. In fact, I'm going to look it up. Chain imperial measure. It would help if I could spell chain. Chain imperial measure in metric. Could be. No. Why would I want
one
it in miles?
20 meters.
20 meters. Okay, so 10 chains away. It gives you a lot.
I've heard of a chain before.
Imperial measures are ridiculous. I just want to point that out. Anyway. The main champion of bringing imperial measures back was about three prime ministers ago now, so...
Our topical podcast is no longer topical.
Yes. But anyway, although, to be perfectly honest, three prime ministers could be just last week at this rate. So the necromancer turns and starts heading up into the hole in the mountain. A lot of zombies go with him. Like, a lot.
It's an interesting decision, really, because aren't zombies vulnerable to fire?
I mean, they're not great at fire.
They're going to have fun.
Skeletons are not great at fire either, and there's a few of them.
In general, undead aren't great at fire, and they're going to a very fiery place.
They don't like fire.
No.
They're not fans. Yeah. They're not fans. They're almost as not fans of fire as, say, ice mages aren't fans of fire. It's almost as if, like, the ogre has thought, hey, they're sending a necromancer and an ice mage. Maybe I'll go and fucking hang out where there's a load of fire.
I mean, it's probably for the best. There isn't a sentient tree in the party.
Yeah, probably for the best.
That's true.
That would have been nice. But anyway, so what are you all doing?
What does the zombie in front of us do?
He just sort of sits there. You get the impression that Ned forgot that he'd sent a zombie down there to give you a load of bindings. He is still holding a tray full of bindings.
Shouldn't you be taking those back to your master?
Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, that was informative.
Let's go completely the other way. Wink, wink.
He said he'd left some defense.
You get the impression that this guy's on Bob repeat. Yeah, Bob doesn't seem like the martial sort. He seems like fetcher, carrier.
I'm supposed to be his butler. I'm going to take that as a yes, regardless of what it actually meant. Anyway, how about snacks? Not you.
Yeah.
We know you only want Bob brains.
Bob is giving Lars a very concerned look.
But yeah, so what are you all doing? Are you just going to sit down and have a picnic while you listen to a fight off in the distance?
I still want to get some axing action in.
Bolan wants to try to figure out if there actually are magical defences or if he was talking rubbish.
Well, I don't know. You're 200 metres away from where he was.
I mean, he's had time to dig 10-foot pits.
I mean,
with lots of zombies.
Yeah, zombies
he hasn't
in them.
Done this by himself.
No, I know. But
I mean, there was a lot of zombies.
On the other hand, either he had a lot of zombies or he came prepared with a lot of spades.
He had a lot of zombies, really went in there. The first thing he did was go to the nearest burial ground, remember? Because he went the opposite direction to you guys.
I thought for a minute there you were going to say the first thing he did was take the zombies to the nearest hardware shop.
That would have been funnier, but no, he did not. No, he just went and raised absolutely every motherfucker in the region.
Of course he did.
Because necromancer. When you got a horde of semi-autonomous cadaverous bodies, everything looks like something you can fix with a horde of semi-cadaverous zombie bodies.
So, what are we doing? Picnic or investigate?
I mean, someone was itching for some axing, and I suggest Bob here might be into that sort of thing.
I know, it seems kind of cruel, though.
Well, I'm not sure there's anyone home. Oh dear.
I should maybe put him out of his misery.
Well, certainly out of our misery.
We could just go a little bit and leave him behind.
You're going to start walking up the other end of the ravine. Bob moves in front of you and proffers a silver tray.
Is this a defense?
I mean, it could be the defense. No, I told you, it doesn't go with my outfit. No.
Do you axe him?
I axe him.
Okay.
For three.
Bob dies.
You
basically cut his head in half. One half goes, the other half goes, and then he falls over.
Is it wrong? I feel a little bad about that.
No.
No, no. It means you're not like Bob.
Beep, beep, beep. That's coming from the other end of the ravine.
Wait, the one in the direction of...
Yes, the
cave.
One in the direction. Beep.
Does this sound magical?
Beep. There's a zombie running towards you. Beep.
Ooh.
I beep. Throw knife on him. Throw knives.
I may be playing on something that Loka recognises.
Poxbuster!
Go ahead and make me a quick check. You're going to have to make a very good quick check.
I'm going to spend the fate point to re-roll that.
Yeah, fair enough. You're still going to have to do well.
How does four sound?
It sounds like the zombie comes charging down towards you, making a beep beep sort of sound that is rapidly getting closer together. You fling a knife and it goes over his shoulder as he leaps into the air towards you all, going, woo-hoo! You see, he's very rotund. He hits the ground. There is a splutching sound. You are all covered, well, probably, in goo. Could everybody make me a quick defense?
One.
Two. That's just a quick roll, right?
It is.
Okay, good. Six.
Okay. You, having realized what's about to happen, jump behind the remains of Bob. You are fine. What did you get?
Two.
You also jump out of the way and manage to avoid being splattered in what is about to happen. Holf?
I got two.
You got two. You also managed to jump out of the way, but you both pick up plus one forward versus these guys. You got one.
Yeah.
There is a splutch and an explosion of goo. You are covered in goo. It is stinky, smelly, filled with maggots. And then you start to fizz. It's not nice. You're burning.
Ah.
You take 1 point of damage.
Okay. I've got the slight confusion that obviously the last game was many months ago. I'm pretty sure this sheet is from the game before. So I've got things marked on my stress and consequences that I'm pretty sure are from when we were fighting the troll.
Okay.
So probably no longer exist.
Probably not. I can't remember what happened with the fight in the ogre.
Yeah,
let's be perfectly honest. I don't care. Okay. Let's just go with you're starting from the beginning.
Okay.
And you've just taken 1 point of fizzy zombie damage.
Okay. I don't have a rubber, but that's fine. I will just cross that bit out.
From the other end of the ravine, you hear bing, 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 ping, 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 as two zombies start running down the ravine towards you. At this point, we're going to go into quickness order, however. These zombies are predictably slow.
Oh, Jesus.
Do I roll quickness or just tell you my stat?
Just roll quickness.
One.
You're still faster than them.
I got a minus two other days.
Viv?
Three.
Hoof?
Sorry, what?
What's your quickness roll, Hoof?
Oh, another one.
Yeah, this is for a mission.
That's two again. I see you rolling twos.
Hoof? Well, it is the average on these days, I believe.
Minus three.
Minus three? Fucking hell.
I rolled a minus three on the dice. My quickness is zero. So, yes, minus three.
Yeah, you're busy fizzing and generally looking unwell. Yeah, there are two of these things hurtling down the chasm towards you. Viv, what do you do? Ping, ping.
Two of them.
Two.
I don't want to fizz. That looks uncomfortable.
Yes, it does. It does look uncomfortable.
How sheer is the side of the ravine?
It's a rocky ravine. You could possibly climb it.
Viv will start climbing.
Fair enough. How do you climb? Flashily, forcefully, carefully? Like a monkey up a drainpipe?
I don't see Viv as a monkey up a drainpipe.
No, a monkey up a drainpipe would be weird. We're sort of back to those dark places in human toothpaste, aren't we, really? Anyway.
Probably fairly carefully.
Make me a careful check. You need to get at least two, I think, to get up the side.
That would be a scrabbling zero.
You go. And make zero progress. Ping, 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 ping.
Yeah, I will attempt to climb up like a monkey up a drainpipe.
Like a monkey up a drainpipe. Make your roll.
Is that suitably flashy?
Yeah, I suppose. If you want to flashily leap from nimbly from rock to rock like a mountain goat.
Nimbly bimbly.
All nimbly bimbly. Like a tree.
That's two.
Okay, that's enough to get you to the top. You reach the top of the ravine. You can see now the top of the ravine and the sort of little plateau that it leads to towards that cave that the necromancer went into. There are a few zombies up here who have now gone, and are shambling in your direction, but they don't seem to be pinging, at least. Lars, there are two pinging zombies hurtling towards you, and Rolf has fucked off.
Knife.
Are you splitting your attack or attacking one?
Just one.
Fair enough.
Seven.
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, the zombie rolled really well for his defense, but there's nothing to do with a 7. One of the zombies is hurtling towards you. Big, big, fat stomach. You can see it blolloping. Blolloping up and down as it lurches towards you, vaguely looking like it might explode early because it's really pumping its legs. And then you dagger it straight in the belly button. The stomach sort of peels back like the skin of a balloon, and it falls into its own ball of acid and just slides to a bony stop. The other zombie continues running and goes, ping! Speaking of which, the exploding zombie hurtles down the ravine. Now, obviously, the necromancer's not dumb. He's like, woman with axe, probably not a problem if I've got enough zombies. Dude covered in knives, probably not a problem if I've got enough zombies. Guy playing a lute. Oh, he's fucked off over the side. But honestly, the guy's got a lute. Probably not a problem if I've got loads of zombies. However, the woman with all of the magic. Problem. So the explodey zombie comes running towards you.
Is there any chance of using anything other than quickness as a defense?
That depends on what you tell me you want to do.
Well, I'm thinking my sheet of ice seemed to work quite well against a sword, and a sheet of ice against a...
an exploding
explosion.
Yeah,
fair enough. Be a pretty good shield.
You can give it a go.
Yeah.
Make yourself a curvy sheet of ice.
That is 3.
That's probably good. There is a
kaboom. I'm assuming this was flashy.
And it sort of spreads out across the sheet of ice. And for a moment you're worried it's going to come round the side and then burst, but it bursts just as it reaches the side, and there's a spray of viscera and maggots, and then your entire ice wall just basically just goes... but you are luckily not touched by the steaming hot goop.
Hooray!
There doesn't seem to be any more pinging at this time. Viv, you are down in the bottom of a ravine. 2 pinging zombies have just exploded. One of them awful close to you, but not so close that it did damage, just enough to give any other zombies a +1 forward on you. What are you doing? Oh, and Rolf has disappeared up and over the top. Because, of course, he has.
Are we still in combat-y?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
Because of things that are about to happen to Rolf.
Fair enough. I would probably... attempt to get up the side again.
Fair enough. Make me a roll. You can go all nimbly bimbly.
That is a 3.
A 3. A 3 is enough. You scramble up the side and come up next to Hrolf. Then you look to the right and you see heading towards you a horde of zombies. Not a big horde, a small horde. Hrolf. There is a small horde of zombies heading towards you, but now at least there is also a Viv up here.
Okay. This is a problem.
Yes.
I will... Okay. I am going to try and defeat the necromancer's control over these zombies using the power of magic. Music.
Okay.
Yes. I pull out my lute. Strum a power chord. And begin to sing. In the flashiest, coolest way possible.
I see.
Oh, zombies, you don't want to hurt me or my friends. That gets a 2.
Really the zombies stop for a second and they look as you sing your wonderful song about not wanting to hurt you or your friends, and they look at you. And you look at them, and they look at you, and you look at them, and for a moment you start to fall into their wonderfully blue eyes, glowing as they are in the dark. And then they go, "Bah!" and come towards you. At speed.
Worth a try.
Lars, you are down the bottom.
Okay, so there is a horde aiming at...
They're up on the top.
They're up on the top.
Nobody down here with you at the moment.
Hmm, Okay. But climbing might go badly.
I mean, it might.
Well, judicious application of knives can happen at range. Can I see any of them up there?
Not really. They've been positioned in such a way that you wouldn't have noticed them until you climbed up. So,
I see.
I mean, he did say he left defences.
That's true.
Dumb, is Ned the Necromancer, who I'm sure was called something completely different in the first episode of this. But that was months ago.
Well, I would like to try and quickly climb the edge of the ravine to assist my companion.
Fair enough.
But I suspect with a zero, I sort of skitter against the wall for a bit and then stop.
No, it's quite icy and it's smooth. And then you realize you're trying to climb up the wrong side. The various zombies are now going to attack. It's between you and Hulf. Would you like to be odds or even?
Odds.
Hulf, it's a bad day to be you. Evens. A zombie horde is running at you. It tries to claw off your face. Try and defend yourself, my friend.
Okay. Right. Oh, wow. That's not good.
Oh, dear.
That's four negatives on the dice.
Oh, my God. Plus your quickness, I assume.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, that would be a minus two.
Uh-huh. Okay. So at this point in time, you're about to take four shifts of damage.
Okay.
Do you have a four box?
Let me look at this photo. No,
you do not, because they go up to three in this game for humans, I believe.
Yes.
So will you be taking your moderate consequence by any chance?
Yes, I will.
In which case, why don't you go ahead and take mauled by a zombie mob?
Okay.
A horde of zombies descends on you, biting and scratching. It's kind of like that scene where the guy goes through the window in basically any zombie film. Hey, Viv.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Bolla. It's
I
you.
Exist.
You exist just in a different time stream to every other motherfucker.
Very slow.
So what are you doing?
Well, I know that previously hitting the zombies from down here wasn't possible, but now they've basically come to the edge where...
They have come to the edge now.
Yeah. So would trying to ice spike any of them be...
You might be able to ice spike people from this point.
Okay.
Really don't fuck it up, though. Because if you really, really fuck it up, you might end up ice spiking, you know, people you don't want to ice spike.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But chances are ice spike the people you're firing at.
I have faith in my abilities. It'll be fine.
You got plenty of, fate points, right?
I don't know. How do I know how many fate points I've got?
You'll have three.
Do I? Okay, cool.
And some stunts about ice, I think.
Yeah, I've got a stunt of... Well, I've got aspects and I've got a stunt.
Yeah. The aspects will probably help then. Because ice early, ice...
Frosty magic early, frosty magic often.
Yeah. That would work if you need it. But anyway.
Okay. Let's see how this goes.
Ice spikes erupt from the ground.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking more in Skyrim, if you know, the hurling of through the air.
Oh, the hurling, of spikes.
I've played too much Skyrim.
Fair enough.
Is where I'm at. I guess they could come up through the ground. That would save the having to aim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were doing, because you're attacking an entire horde.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll do up through the ground. That's fair enough. Which stat is this off?
You can probably do it cleverly.
Okay, cool. I can try and do it cleverly.
It's your main thing. Magic is your thing.
It is. Okay, so that is a four.
Yeah, that's probably enough. A huge section of the zombie horde suddenly goes, oh! As ice spikes erupt from beneath them.
Ooh.
Some get it in the foot. Some get it in the leg. Some get it in the chest because they're bending over. Others are less lucky, but... just as dead. And Viv. There is a horde of zombies now much lessened trying to eat Hulf.
Okay, Hulf. I will get my axe.
Yep. Take your axe, yep.
Yep.
And then you're going to
Forcefully hack at them.
Forcefully hack them with your axe. My God, who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thought? I will try and like...
Oh dear, poor zombies.
Get in kind of in front of Rolf.
You're going to try and force Rolf to the rear while you go forwards with an axe. Fair enough.
That is a 5.
A 5. Yeah, that will probably do it. So, Rolf, for a moment there, you're surrounded by zombies, you're being chomped on, you're starting to see the pearly gates of Valhalla, which your friends tell you are not pearly at all. Then suddenly there's an axe, and it goes past you a lot. And then there's a blur of movement and a red mist sort of descends over the area. And for a moment you think, oh my God, finally it's happened. Finally, I'm going to become a berserker. And then you realize it's just zombie mist being produced by forcefully hacking zombies a lot to death. And so you lie on the cold ground now covered in spiked zombies as Viv hacks her way through the rest of the horde. The horde is gone. Silence descends. Apart from in the direction of the massive cave, wherein you can hear... Chomp, 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 chomp. Bzork, bzork. Chomp, 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 chomp. There seems to be a mighty combat going on in that cave over there.
Ooh. I'll
put some effects on that so it sounds better.
We've got to the exciting bit. Let's go.
Perhaps we should move forward with stealth in case there's more defences.
I mean, that doesn't sound like us.
No, that's true. It doesn't. We can just go.
La, 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 la. For a moment, you consider doing something sensible, but then you go, well, that's not like us. So, so with all of the stealth of a medium to large sized elephant, you stomp your way up to the front door. There are a lot of bits of zombie here, and there's an occasional bit of a zombie comes flying out of the cave. From your current vantage point, you can see that the cave wheels down until it gets to sort of the caldera-y area. It's very sort of D&D fantasy-esque. There's a huge pool of lava. The ogre is on like a rock island in the middle of the pool of lava with a giant club defending itself against hordes of zombies who are not really very good at avoiding lava. Obviously, the command has been given attack.
I'm curious as to how anyone avoids lava.
Well, what you don't do is walk into the lake of lava and then keep walking and assume you're going to be in one piece when you come out the other end. Quite a lot of the zombies, having been given the orders, go and attack the ogre, seem to have done exactly that. So there's
lack of detail.
Very small amounts of zombie sort of clawing at his toes, most of which is burnt off below, like the upper chest sort of area. A number of other zombies either got lucky or Ned managed to remember, use the fucking bridge, guys. Because there's a load of other zombies sort of clawing their way up the ogre, and he's sort of swatting them off. Ned is stood the end of the sort of rocky, lavery bridge with a goodly cohort of zombies around him still. He's only probably got 60 with him. There's probably another 40 over there, and there's the bits of maybe 180 or so zombies about the place. You're guessing that ogre plus lava minus zombies is not a great equation for Ned the Necromancer. He's sort of ordering them in. He's currently gathering a unit of zombies with a big chain, and he's sort of trying to give them instructions. The skull is sat on a rock, and it's giving instructions to a different unit as well. And he seems to be sort of suggesting to them to go and wrap up the ogre's feet or something. That's what you can see at the moment. Are you guys going to do anything, or are you actually going to just sit and watch the show? I don't know, because you guys are fucking random.
I'd be happy enough to watch for a while, see what happens.
Yeah,
stop
absolutely.
A good non-threatening distance back. And
okay.
Did someone mention snacks?
So I think I've even got some popcorn here somewhere.
So you literally sit down next to a little pool of lava and get out some corn, which you then wrap in clay, drop in the lava until it goes all bubbly, and then you pull it out, scrape the rock off it, and sit there eating popcorn while you watch Zombies versus Ogre. So
yes, because the fresh popcorn is the best popcorn.
Yeah. So basically, the chain gang is what I'm going to call them. Sort of rushes over the bridge and sets up behind the ogre, holding the chain taut behind the ogre's legs. The ogre is still busy swatting zombies who are on him off him. The next group that the skeletal head was talking to then rush forward and leap up onto each other's shoulders and then leap at his chest. He takes a half step back, hits the chain, and falls over. Then zombies swarm on top of him. Zombies continue swarming on top of him.
Oh, hey, he might actually have this one.
Nah, because the zombies roll very poorly. Very, very poorly. Well, let's just check. My dice might hate the ogre equally. No, they do not hate the ogre equally. So, for a while, it looks like, you know, if you've ever seen a grasshopper just wander into a horde of ants by accident and then go, oh no, I have made a terrible mistake. It looks like that for a bit. There's this hump of zombies that is moving about somewhat underneath, but you get the impression that there's a lot of chomping going on at the bottom strata of that pile. And this continues for a couple of minutes and you're like, well, maybe that ogre is utterly fucked then. And then, like, there's an explosion of the heap, and a lot of zombies go flying through the air and go, moose! 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 And the ogre stands up. Now, at this point, Ned the Necromancer, not his real name, looks at his 40 or so zombies and a very angry ogre and goes, oh, and he turns to his squad of zombies and gives them orders. And they rush to the land bridge and start forming themselves into one giant sort of human pyramid-style zombie. They Voltron that shit right up. Meanwhile, he's having a conversation with the skull. And the skull seems to be doing something. And then promptly casts a spell. The Voltron zombie lumbers forward and attempts to wrestle an ogre. The problem with being a zombie made of zombies is that is in no way as strong as an ogre. So the zombie made of zombies flops wetly against the ogre, who promptly just pulls it to bits and throws them all into the thing. Ned the Necromancer then rushes towards the ogre and goes, stop! The ogre does not stop and in fact stamps on him. Over in the distance, you see the skull, pew, teleport away.
Oh, well, I suppose it saves us doing the job.
We might have another job.
Yeah, the ogre is looking around. There's a few still weakly moving bits of zombie about the place, but you guys are over in the corner eating fucking popcorn, and it looks over in your direction and goes, you. What are you guys doing? Well, probably rolling initiative.
Yeah.
It's very combat heavy, this game. Fuck it. I don't care. The ogre is on minus two because he's an unlucky fuck.
Five.
Rolf is probably going first then.
Hooray.
Viv.
Zero.
Minus one. Just making your writing difficult.
And Lars.
Four.
Okay, so the ogre has spotted you. He's pointed out to you. He's heading in your direction, Rolf.
I pull out my castanets.
You pull out your castanets. The ogre sees your castanets, looks down at his missing nipple, and growls.
That's right. I've come for the other one. And I launch myself forward to attack his other nipple.
Fair enough.
And I think I just broke Hardwick.
Potentially.
Oh, happy days. Right. I am trying to do this as flashily as possible.
I'll grant it.
Making sure to twist and get the lava light just right. So that's a total of three.
Three? You launch yourself at his nipple. You grasp hold of it tightly. He looks down at you. And swipes you away before you can twist it off. You do some damage, but not as much as you would hope. He seems to be badly bitten, badly chomped, and somewhat mauled by zombies. I.e., he's used up most of his consequences already. Lars, there is an ogre. It has a Hrolf attached.
Well, and it's relatively close by, right?
Oh, yeah, it's very close by now.
Oh, well, stacked home's over. 3-4. Knife.
Fair enough. You bounce. You rush forward and knife it in the leg, and it just sort of kicks you away. Rah! Get away!
No. Sean.
I'm going to run up and axe him.
Forcefully axe him, Oh, dearie me.
And that would be a 6.
A 6, you say?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take 7 shifts of damage because he rolled a -3 on his dice.
What?
That's impressive.
And his stat ain't that high for defense.
Oh.
His forceful is fucking enormous. Bulla.
Well, I mean, this seems like it could be a good moment for Skyrim-style spikes.
Yes, fair enough. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So remember, you're in a very hot place, though. Just remember.
Yeah, he's come out the cave, though, hasn't he?
He's come to the entrance of the cave, so okay. It's cooler where he is now.
We were a little way back.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, so...
He hasn't left this cave entirely, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So it's still warmer.
It's warm, but it's less warm.
It's not boiling unbelievably hot.
So I'll just have to try and make them good chunky spikes.
Yes, you will have to make chunky spikes.
Can I claim plunder for this?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That is a 3.
You fire an ice spike at him. He catches it on the bracer of his arm and flings it off into the distance. You do not score any damage, but you get a +1 forward on him next time. The ogre will decide amongst the three who are attacking him. Hey, Loka, you're about to get smooshed. Hey, Loka, you're probably not getting smooshed. Roll me a quickness defense, please.
5.
He gets a +1 forward on you, but does not do you any damage. I told you he was strong. You've got a very large club. It really hurts if he hits you. Hoof. The ogre swings his club down towards Lars, misses him. It's now your go.
I once again launch myself forward to attack with my castanet upon his nipple.
You attempt to denipplify him again. Okay, fair enough.
And this time I get a 5.
Oh, you just managed to get his nipple, but again you can't twist it off. You do some damage and it rolls up to his 2-box.
This one's screwed on more tightly.
Yeah. Well, the last one, if I remember correctly, you had frosted it right up before it came off. Lars, you can see Hrolf is tugging and pulling on his nipple. He's got the thing in his castanets and put both feet against the ogre's peck and he's pulling with all his might, but currently it hasn't come off.
I mean, at this point, I'm probably doing something like going for a tendon, so he falls over.
Fair enough. Make a roll. Oh, dearie me.
4.
Well, you do 4 points of damage, then.
Oh, good lord.
You dart forward and stab him in the leg. He does go down to 1 knee. Ooh, me leg! You little fucker.
Viv.
I mean, axing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That is a 1.
You got 1 as well, so you get +1 forward on him. But that's all you get. Bola, remember you have a +1 forward on you.
Does that mean I just get +1?
You get +1. Are you ice stabbing nating him again?
This is the plan, yeah.
He will attempt to forcefully defend against your ice stabination.
My dice do not like me this time.
Right?
No.
Even with the +1? Because you have to.
Yeah, so that is a 2 total.
You fire an ice bolt at him. He catches it and holds it over the lava until it melts while staring at you. And the ogre is going to try and kill you, Lars. because you're the only one doing him damage, apart from the horrific purple nurple he's experiencing. Right, okay. Please roll me a defense. He's got a plus one forward against, of course.
One.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
Taking into account the weapon damage and the fact that you just got one, you're about to take seven shifts of damage.
I might fair point that one.
Really? Go on then. I would.
Three.
Okay, so you're going to take 5 points of damage, five shifts of damage. So you could take your four consequence and a one box, or you could take your six consequence.
Well, currently my one box would roll up to my three box, and then I would be full.
Yeah, so I would go ahead and take your six consequence then, if I were you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're in trouble. The mighty club of the ogre comes lancing down towards you, and it smashes into your leg in revenge for your stabbing of his leg. You go, woo! As you fly through the air and smack into the ground with a deafening thump. The ogre looks at you and goes, payback! At which point, Hrolf, I assume you're going to nurple him to death.
That is the plan.
Good grief.
What's the consequence, by the way?
Fucking smash the fuck up. Let's go with that one. So, Hrolf, what do you get on your massive nurples?
This time I get a three.
A three? So, you do him 2 points of damage, which rolls up to his three box, because basically you're filling in the bottom part of his list. You're tugging and tugging and tugging, and you can feel it starting to give. The nipple is coming off now. Lars?
Yeah.
It's your go, Lars. Oh, God.
Well, I'm now throwing distance from him.
Yes, you are.
So, fling knife.
Fair enough. Oh, dearie me. Go on, then.
I'm fake-pointing that one as well.
I see.
Jesus fucking Christ, a minus two. Mm. That would still leave me a one, but I would far prefer the plus two, which gives me a five.
Yeah, that will do it. You fling a knife. It slams into his nipple, and it comes free, dumping Hrolf on the ground. The ogre goes, as the four damage rolls up to his five box. He staggers back, clutching at one boob, the other boob already nippleless. He doesn't look happy. Viv.
The inevitable axing.
The much axing, fair enough.
Yeah, at this point there's not much else to
do. No, I mean, it's an ogre. Axing is.
With God. A plus one, I think I've got.
You do have a plus one.
That's a six.
You only cause him 1 point of damage. But that rolls up to his six box because everything else is built. So you rush forward and just sort of hack at one of his toes and he goes, because he's already really badly injured.
Ice.
Ice.
Let's see if the dice actually hate me this time or not. Oh, God, they do hate me. Right, what are fake points for? What?
If you've got an aspect that you think is appropriate, you can use it. You can tag the aspect to re-roll your dice.
Frosty magic early, frosty magic
that
often.
Would do it, yes.
Yeah. A bit better. Okay, that's three.
Three?
Yeah.
Three, you say.
It's better than one.
Yes. Well, he got one on his defense. So you do 2 points of damage. Now his two box is full. So that rolls up to his three box, which is full, which rolls up to his four box, which is full, which rolls up to his five box, which is full, which rolls up to his six box, which is full, which rolls up to his seven box, which is full, which rolls up to his eight box. Unfortunately, your ice shard explodes his face. He drops down dead. On Lars.
Do I get the nipple?
Yes, you've got the nipple. Lars achieved the nipple for you. Lars, you're under an ogre at the moment.
Could somebody help get this off, Lars? is kind of stinker.
Mm. After a small amount of time, you manage to dig Lars out. It does involve forceful axing to get him out. You take a trophy from the ogre to prove that you have killed the ogre, and you head down the mountain towards Wadawick the Raging. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we're going to end for the evening. I'm aware that people have to catch trains. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to as much as we've enjoyed the horrific nipple damage. If you have enjoyed what you've been listening to, it's possible you might have done. Please feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your podcast reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at thecustardtandice.net or thecustardtandice@gmail.com. You can talk to me at Mordrigan. You can talk to her at T Gremlin. You can talk to all of us at Cult T and Dice. Thank you for listening and goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mutilation.